In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So here we are. We're continuing the understanding of sleep in the arms of your Jesus. And Jesus explains it very clearly what he means by this. Today, we begin to understand. And if you've listened to the information that's coming to us from, you know, our new source, not the old news source, but the new source, you hear a lot of things happening. And there's, again, I mentioned this before, there's a lot of doom and gloom. And people are afraid. People are panicking. This one person that I know said to me, you keep on saying it's going to be great. Look what's happening. Look what's happening. I mean, how can this be great? And Jesus explains this to us today. Why there is this darkness, okay? Why there is this night? Why what's coming is the daylight, the Dawn of a Mystery says, the DVD Dawn of a Mystery. It's going to be abundant life, abundant light, abundant life, abundant love is coming to the earth. And for a lot of people, all they hear is the doom and gloom. This is happening and that's happening. And we can't enter into this doom and gloom. That's what Jesus teaches Louisa. So God has given us the way and the how the kingdom is coming. When he has given us the writings of Louisa, the Book of Heaven. When we read the Book of Heaven, what happens at that point is we become peaceful, joyful, and happy. We begin to experience the love of God in a way that we haven't seen before. And that's the thing that is so very, very exciting. Jesus explains why we are going through what we're going through. And since the church is now going through all the heresies, against Christ, since the beginning of the Holy Church. Now what's happening is all these heresies are coming out again, all at once. So it's not just one heresy at a time that the church, you know, would focus on and say, okay, no, this is not how we're supposed to be thinking. And then think with the mind of Christ, with the way that our dogma and doctrine. Now what's happening is it's all blending in together. And a lot of people are hearing things that they have never heard before, and then beginning to doubt about Jesus. So what Jesus has done, knowing this is coming, is given us the Book of Heaven. And so it's Jesus speaking to us every day. If you read yesterday's reading on the Feast of St. Aloysius, again, Aloysius, that's Louisa's name. Aloysia was her name on the birth certificate. And Jesus said that, I have chosen St. Aloysius so that you, Louisa, will be named after him because he was the most pure of all the saints. And then we have Cardinal Ratzinger, Pope Benedict the 16th. His middle name is Aloysius. Joseph Aloysius Ratzinger. So you have these two. You have a pope and you have Louisa, who celebrated yesterday this feast. And I think that's to help us be confident that God is working. And not to lose hope. The darkness is coming. But it happens every day. We go through darkness every day when the sun sets. And Jesus tells us how a child reacts, and he calls us to be the little children of the Holy Divine Will. So he's asking us to be childlike in this darkness that happens every day. So he says this in volume 29, October 4th, 1931. My beloved, Jesus repeated with a tender tone, "My daughter, you must know." Okay, so this is a command from Jesus Christ. You must know this. To understand the divine will, if you haven't read the book, You Must Know, that's all the you must knows that are in the 36 volumes in one book. Jesus says you have to understand this. To live in the divine will, you must know this. We begin to understand that there's a plan of God in all of this. And as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, he says, you have to understand what's coming is the kingdom. What's coming is the new day. What's coming is the new Jerusalem. It's a new beginning, excuse me, for mankind. And my beloved Jesus repeated with a most tender note, "My daughter, you must know that just as nature has the night and the day, so the soul has her night, the soul has her dawn, the soul has her daybreak, the soul has her full midday, and the soul has her sunset." So Jesus is saying that when we enter into this life, this is a natural thing that has to happen. Just like the sunrise and sunset, the human has the same thing. We are born and with holy innocence, basically, through holy baptism, we enter into God's image. And then what happens is over the course of our life, we enter more and more into the likeness of God. If we're seeking God, if we're trying to avoid the sins, the sin, the flesh, and the devil, all that's around the world. Entering into this life, you enter into, as Jesus says, the dawn, your baptism, the daybreak, first communion, the full midday. And this is where your spirituality is becoming alive. You know that Jesus Christ is your Lord, your Savior, your Master, your King. You know that Mary is your mother. She's the new Eve. We know that this abundant life is given to us freely. And God says, he says, "I want you to have as much as you want or as little as you want, 30, 60, or 100-fold. I want to give you this fullness." So we are going through, we've gone through the dawn, the daybreak, and we're entering into the full midday, okay? And then finally, the sunset. The night calls for the day. The day calls for the night. See, it's the breathing in and breathing out. When God breathed in the ruah of God, the breath of God into this dust, and out of the dust came the image and likeness of God. God wants us to participate in this. It can be said that they call for each other. So this darkness that everybody's afraid of is nothing to be afraid of. It's part of what has been planned by God, that we enter into this fullness of life, this fullness of light, this fullness of love, the love of God. So the Lord is asking us to don't listen to that which is opposed to what God has planned. It's not that our God wants darkness for us, but we have to go through this to grow. He has to see what we believe. Okay, so this is why we have the night. Okay, now the night of the soul are my privations. Okay, that means that when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, when you're in front of the monstrance and looking at Jesus Christ, you're filled with peace, joy, and happiness. As the saints say, your heart is on fire with love. You're seeing God. You're with God. You're seeing God in the monstrance, in that host. But for one who lives in my divine will, okay, listen to this. These are precious nights. The privations of Jesus are the precious nights. Now, when you're not in front of the Blessed Sacrament, when you're not receiving Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, he says these privations are precious nights, are precious times. So at night, when everybody is afraid, everybody is anxious and worried about what's coming, what's going to happen, panicking. The amount of panic is just unbelievable. The fear is just unbelievable. This is not how we're supposed to live. So what Jesus is showing us is the night of the soul are my privations. And for the soul who lives in my divine will, these are precious nights. So at night when it's dark, when you're not with Jesus, you don't see Jesus, you're not reading, what happens is you're alone. Why? God wants to see what you're going to do. He says, I spy on you. I want to know how you are going to react. Now, if you're reacting with, oh my goodness, oh, this is terrible. What am I going to do? I'm afraid. God's going to go, have you learned anything? Are you entering into the light? Are you entering into this love, this life? You're going to hear a lot of terrible things happening. And how do we respond? God doesn't love us. I mean, remember, they were in the squall, the apostles and Jesus. Jesus was asleep in the stern. And they wake him up and they said, aren't you afraid we're all going to die? And Jesus said, be quiet, be still. I truly believe he was talking to the apostles. And his voice, be quiet, be still, made everything calm. That's the word of God. But he was speaking to the apostles. Why are you, what does he say? Why are you afraid? What are you afraid of? If we believe in Jesus Christ, there's no panic. It's okay, Lord. You're in charge. Whatever you have planned, I don't know what's going to happen. This is the privation. This is the darkness. These are precious times. Why? Jesus is watching. How are you responding? Are you responding with fear? Are you responding with panic? Are you responding, or is he your Lord, your Savior, your Master, your King? Do you trust him? Or are you becoming a child again, afraid, terrified? Jesus says, it's not a slothful rest of restless sleep, but no, and of operating rest, of peaceful sleep. We trust in Jesus. Why do you think he gave St. Faustina the final devotion? Jesus, I trust in you, before he returns. Why? It's going to get tough. It's going to be exciting, as one good friend of mine says, it's going to be a roller coaster. And if you don't like roller coasters, it's terror the whole time. But if you can realize that you're strapped in the seat, this plane, you're not going to die. You're going to go through this. It becomes really exciting. And this is a night of operating rest, a night of peaceful sleep. Jesus, I trust in you. If you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining about your relatives, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners, your country, the world, Jesus says, make this privation of Jesus. You're not with him. You don't see him at this point. An operative rest, a peaceful sleep. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. We are going to see things, hear things, as Jesus says to Louisa, never before seen, never before heard. And that doesn't mean God has abandoned us, but it means that this is the time that he's going to bring this about, because it has to happen. It's not that the Lord, abandons us, but he says to the evil one, present what you have to present. The battle's on. You know, think about that message that Pope Leo XIII heard, where he heard the devil say to Jesus, give me 100 years and I'll destroy your church. I'll destroy the world. God says it's yours. Do you see why Jesus says to Louisa, he doesn't go into detail about what's coming. He just says it's going to be a catastrophe. Why? Because this is what people want. People don't want what God wants. And he says that I have to give them what they want. Jesus said to Louisa, I have to release all the demons. And Louisa says, you're God. You don't have to do this. You know, you don't have to do this. And Jesus says, Louisa, don't you understand that this is what humanity wants? And I have to give it to them. Why? How do you know? People go, oh, that's not true. That's not true. What about all the abortions? What about the alternative lifestyles? What about all the drugs? What about all the crime? What about all that's the people not living in the state of grace? That's wanting sin. So God says, I have to give it to you. This is what you want. He said to the evil one, what do you want? You can obey or you can rebel. And the evil one said, I'm not going to obey. I will not serve. I will not obey. God goes, okay, then you want hell. So I have to give this to you. So what does Jesus say to Louisa? He says to Louisa, I mean, he doesn't go into detail. Yes, this is the night, if you want to say, that's coming. But it's going to be an operative rest. It's going to be a peaceful sleep for us. For the soul who lives in my divine world, these are precious nights. What does Jesus say? He says to Louisa, let them do what they want. They want to destroy my church? Let them try. They want to destroy the world? Let them try. And Louisa would weep. Jesus, this is what they're doing. And Jesus would say, I have to let them have what they have free will. I have to give them what they want. So he says to us, do you want to live this abundant life or do you want to live in fear? I mean, are you going to trust the evil or are you going to trust in God? And so what does he do? He gives us the cross. Why? He gives us the cross so that we can trust in him even more. Jesus, I trust in you. If you can't spend time in front of Christ crucified, if you can't spend time in front of our Eucharistic Lord, as Pope St. John Paul II said, our prisoner of love, if you can't be with him, who are you with? All that else, everything else is opposite of Christ, opposite of his mother, the new Adam and the new Eve. And so we have to discipline ourselves to be with Jesus. And when we're with Jesus, we're filled with this operative rest, this peaceful sleep. We're not afraid. We're not complaining. We're not negative. We're not worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. We have left that misery and are entering into a complete trust in God, a complete hope in God, a complete confidence in God. So this is what the Lord is saying. In fact, when the soul sees the night coming, are we seeing what's coming? This is where the doom and gloom is. This is where the panic is coming. This is where the fear and the anxiety is coming from. We see the night coming. He called us for us to be alive at this time. Okay, let's look at Joan of Arc, a young girl who heard God since she was 13. She heard the Lord telling her, reassuring her confidently. And then finally, at the age of 16, she says, okay, let's do this. And she leads an army. She leads an army into battle and wins. What we're going through is even tougher than what Joan of Arc went through. That's what Our Lady of America says to Sister Mary Ephraim. You're my little Joan, he says, Jesus says, through Saint Michael. And your battle is going to be tougher than Joan's. Now, Joan got wounded. You know, we might get wounded. If that's what God is asking of us, if that has to be our cross, so be it. Yeah, you're in charge, Lord. I trust you. If this is what you're asking, I'm ready. I give my fiat. Whatever you want, I want. God says, good, I'll take care of it. That's what he keeps on saying to Louisa. He says, In fact, when the soul sees the night coming, she abandoned herself in my arms. This is what we're doing. We're saying to Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. And we go to him in the darkness. We turn to him in the darkness. Like I said, when you're not in front of the Blessed Sacrament, when you haven't received Jesus in the Eucharist, where you're filled with confidence, he says, you abandon yourself in my arms to lean her tired head upon my divine heart. Why? To hear my heartbeats, Jesus says, so as to draw new love during your sleep and say to me while sleeping, I love you, oh my Jesus. Jesus says, if that's all you can say in front of the Blessed Sacrament, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you with every heartbeat, with every breath, Jesus says, this is everything for me. It's no long words. It's no long prayers. It's Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. Jesus, I trust in you. He, and like St. Joan of Arc said, I was born for this time. We were born for this time. He predestined us to live at this time. He predestined us to have the book of heaven. And as we read this, as we study this, as we put this into practice, there's no fear. There's no doom and gloom. There's no complaining. It's like, Jesus, I trust in you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Oh, my Jesus. Do you see what God is calling us to? He's calling us to, in this time where all the heresies are attacking the church at once, not just one at a time, but all at once. Jesus, I trust in you. I have confidence in you. I believe in you. You are my Lord, my Savior. You're my Master. You're my King. You're my all. I trust in you. This is, as Jesus says, this night becomes precious. It's an operating rest. We are getting closer to Jesus without seeing him. We're getting closer to Jesus without receiving him. Why? He tells us this. The sleep of one who loves me, the sleep of one who lives in my divine will, is like the sleep of a little girl who has, as she feels her eyes closing for sleep, half asleep, calls mama, mama, for she wants her arms. She wants her mother's arms. She wants her mother's maternal breast in order to sleep, so much so that as soon, listen to this, as the tiny little one wakes up, the first word is mama. The first smile, the first gaze is looking for her mother, searching for her. That's for us, that's Jesus. He becomes everything for us. There is no worry. There's no fear. There's no anxiety. There's no complaints. This is the operative rest. This is the peaceful sleep that God is giving us. We trust in him, believe in him, confidence in him, not in what we see, what we hear, what is all around us, but who he is. Jesus is the light of the world. And he says to us, you are the light of the world. You have to enter into this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, to enter into this abundant life, abundant light, abundant love. That's what God is asking of us. And so what happens? What happens? Such is the soul who lives in my divine will. That soul is the tiny little girl who, as night comes, looks for Jesus. She loves, she draws new divine strength from Jesus, new divine love from Jesus in order to love Jesus more. Why are we going through what we're going through? It's a test. Jesus says, what have you learned in the 36 volumes? What have you learned from Saint Faustina? What have you learned from the angels and the saints over the last 2,000 years? Are you ready now to enter into this abundant life of living in the divine will? Or is that far from you? If that's far from you, you're not going to be able to get through what's coming. And This is why when you look at what scripture tells us, when we look at the visions, the apparitions, the locutions of the saints, it says to get ready for something tough, but it's nothing to be afraid of. My confidence is in Jesus. Why? I trust in him. And that's what Jesus is waiting for. You will find new divine strength, new divine love in order to love Jesus more. So this is the test. If we can't get closer to Jesus in these times that we were predestined to live, something is wrong. Something is wrong. And Jesus is saying, this operative rest that you're going to have with Jesus, with, in, through, and for Jesus, this operative peaceful sleep that you're going to have makes you love Jesus more. New, listen to what he says, new divine strength, new divine love. He's filling us. He's making, it's like lifting weights. You know, when you lift weights, you tear the muscles every time you lift, and then you rest. And the muscle becomes larger and more strong. And as it tears, it becomes stronger. As it tears, that's why the muscles are building, is because you're tearing them. It's the same thing. We need these nights. We need this time of rest with Jesus. It's not a slothful rest. It's not a restless sleep, but it's an operative rest. Jesus is watching. Are you getting closer to me with all that is around? Trusting me, hoping in me, confidence in me, Jesus says. So he says this. And oh, how beautiful it is to see the soul seeking, desiring, longing for Jesus in her sleep. That has to be us. Seeking Jesus, desiring Jesus, longing for Jesus in the darkness. Seeking Jesus, desiring Jesus, longing for Jesus. Okay, let's look at receiving Holy Communion. Do you seek Jesus, desire Jesus, long for Jesus? You know, when Louisa was ready for Mass, she would pray. What was it? She would pray for 2 straight hours, getting ready to receive Jesus in the Eucharist. And then what would happen? She would receive Jesus for that hour, the hour of Holy Mass. And then she would adore Jesus for 2 straight hours. And that's why when you see Louisa looking up, she's in deep meditation over Christ. How do we get ready for Holy Communion? Do we get to church early? Are we silent? Or are we talking to our neighbor? Is it focused on our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King? And then after communion, and this is why Holy Mass ends. Holy Mass ends with the final, you receive communion, the final blessing, and it's over. Why? The church does not want to interfere with your communion with Jesus. And Jesus says, why do I give you Holy Communion? To prepare you for the perennial communion that's coming, that will be one with God. We will walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening as Adam did, never to be separated from God. Okay, how about the rosary? Do we pray the rosary with love, or is it get it done? You see, Jesus is saying, how beautiful it is to see the soul seeking, desiring, and longing for Jesus in the dark. It's not panic. It's falling in love with Jesus. What did he say? I love you, I love you, I love you, oh my Jesus. It's not panic. Jesus says this, seeking, this desiring, this longing calls for the dawn that will form the daybreak, that will make the full day arise, that the calls for the sun, S-U-N of the divine will. He says, and I, God, raise and form the course of the day. I, God, bring it to its full midday. So Jesus is doing this for each and every one of us. It's not, oh my God, this is what we're going to go through. Why are we going through this? No, Jesus is saying, I have planned this. Let's look at Joan of Arc. A young girl. I mean, this is saintly. This is good. This is holy. Jesus and Mary called Louisa to a share in divinity. It's more than that. It's more than what the saints went through. And he has allowed us to be alive at this time. Why? To give us more than what he gave to the saints. The saints learned how to do the will of God. Louisa taught Louisa how to live in the will of God. This is a glorious time. And all that's happening on the outside is for our benefit. That's why he says, these are precious nights. These are precious times that we're living in. He didn't give this to the saints. The saints had to go through their own battles, yes, but to learn how to do the will of God. For us, it's to learn how to live in the will of God. That's what God has planned. To live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Think about when Jesus went to, this is why he says, those that read the hours of the passion and have compassion for me, Jesus says, and my mother, he says, begin to understand the great benefit of his crucifixion, death, and resurrection. If we're not paying attention to the sufferings that Jesus went through, how are we getting ready for what's coming? He embraced his cross. Read what he told Louisa. He embraced his cross. He kissed the cross. He looked at the cross and he saw where his cross was going to save us. And he says, this is good. That's what Jesus is trying to show us. He's getting us ready for the full midday sun of the divine will, S-U-N of the divine will, the Vatican has said is Louisa. Why this human? Because she's the firstborn to live in this life that Adam lost, image and likeness of God. This is why what's coming, there are people who don't, good people who don't want this, and there are bad people that don't want this. There are good people that want this. There are bad people that want this coming. They want it to happen. So where are we? What I'm hearing is there's a lot of people that are so afraid. They are so afraid that they're not calm. They're not peaceful. Did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? Did you hear this? Yes, it's the new heavens and the new earth are coming. What has to happen is happening. And why? To get ready for the new heavens and the new earth. A lot of people are so focused on this earth that they don't know we are here to live for heaven. We're here on earth to prepare for eternity. And if that is far from us, it's far from us. We're not going to be able to be peaceful, joyful, and happy, because what does the prayers in the church say? It says Jesus is returning with divine justice. Jesus is returning with fire. But Our Lady says that this fire is coming, symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that's symbolized by Jesus and Mary. It's the love of God coming upon the earth to consume the world in love. Why? We are going back to where we belong, in paradise, in Eden. That's our home. And if we think this is our home, we're going to be all messed up. This is the bus station. This is at the train station. We're waiting to take this slow train coming. That's a great album by Bob Dylan, by the chance, by the way. When he was Christian, he really talks about the truth. He knows the truth. That's why in Colossians it says, Every human knows the truth, knows God, but it depends what they want to do with it. Well, see, Jesus has given us the book of heaven. It's a new beginning that's coming for us. This is what's so great. So he says this, but you must know this. He's like he said from the beginning, you must know, my daughter, that here on earth, things alternate. Only in heaven is it always full day. What's Jesus saying? When the kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven, paradise, Eden, it's a full day of sun. That's what's coming. He says, here on earth, this bus station, this train station, it's alternative. It's night and day, night and day, night and day. But only in heaven is it always full day, because my presence is perennial amid the blessed, amid the saints. So this perennial communion is what God is getting us ready for. Yes, we spend time getting ready for our Eucharistic Lord. We spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament with our Eucharistic Lord. Why? To prepare us for the perennial communion that's coming. This abundant life that's coming. So as you see that I'm about to leave you, okay, what's coming? The night, this darkness. But do you know where I stay? Inside of you, period. We have to begin to understand that's where Jesus wants. We give to Christ our heart so that it is his throne. This is where Jesus stays. Do we recognize Jesus within us? Jesus is saying, do you know where I stay? I stay inside you. After having instructed your soul, how has he instructed our soul? Through our dogma, our doctrine, our catechism, and now with the book of heaven. After having instructed your soul, given you my lessons. Now, these are the lessons. These are the manifestations, the truths, the promises given to Louisa. Before the light of my presence. So what's he saying? As he speaks this to us, we enter into this new day. Every day. It's more beautiful than yesterday. And tomorrow will be more beautiful than today. As we read, as we study. Having instructed your soul, Jesus is doing that. That's why I say, when you read the calendar, great things happen. You are happy. Why? You're with Jesus. Jesus is with you. He's teaching you. He's guiding you, giving you my lessons before the light of my presence, so that you might comprehend them well, and they might serve you as food and work during the day. And I, God, withdraw and form the sunset, hidden within you. So this light that we read, these truths that we read, these manifestations that we read, these promises that we read, stays with us in the night. This is what he says. Listen to what he says. As you comprehend them well, they might serve you as food. You don't eat once a week. You don't eat once a day. You eat throughout the day. You read throughout the day. You know, this is what Jesus is saying. It will serve you as food, as work during the day, and as a withdrawal, it will form the sunset, and I will be hiding within you during the short night. I will make myself actor and spectator of all your acts. How are you now responding? Are you responding with fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin? He says, it hasn't become your food yet. It's in the night. It's confidence in God, trust in God, going to God as a little child will go to their mother. You know, when the thunderstorm happens, where does the little children come? They go to their parents. Jesus says, yeah, it's going to be tough. But he says, I have predestined you to live at this time. I'm going to give you the strength. I'm going to give you the courage more than what I gave to Joan of Arc and the saints. See, this is the kingdom returning. We're going back to the garden. We're going back to paradise, where we are called to live. All the animals in paradise are alive. There's nothing dead or inanimate in the garden. There's nothing. It's everything is alive. Everything has light. Everything has love. Why? That's how God made it, a reflection of himself. That's why when we do our Prevenia act in the morning and our actual acts throughout the day, we enter into creation and redemption and sanctification. That's our life. That's the Catholic life. That's the universal life that Adam lost. And the firstborn, the newborn, possesses it. And God is saying to us, do you want this? It's yours if you want it. This is such a great day. He says, and while for you it seems nighttime, for me, Jesus, it is the most beautiful rest. Why? He sees our trust in him, our confidence in him. He says, and after I have spoken to you, I, God, take rest. Where? In my own word within you, which you are living. And the acts that you do serve me as lullabies, as refreshments, as defense, and as a sweet relief for my ardors of love. Then he says this, therefore, let me do. He says to Louisa, get out of my way. No more doubts, no more worries, no more fears, no more anxieties. I want complete trust in me, Jesus says, so I can accomplish what I have planned for mankind in you. Let me do this. That's what St. Louis de Montfort says. In the final days, they'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, but it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. Do you believe that? If you believe what St. Louis de Montfort says, then you will devour this food, this book of heaven. You'll read it. You'll study it. You'll put it into practice. Jesus is going to teach you how and why the kingdom is going to come on earth as it is in heaven. It's for the souls who get out of God's way to let him accomplish what he has planned. Creation, divine decree. Redemption, divine decree. Sanctification, a divine decree. That's what he teaches Louisa. That's what he teaches us. Get out of my way, Jesus says. I'm going to do this, and it's going to be spectacular. Let me do. He says, I know when the night or the day is necessary for you. He knows what is needed for us. We have to conquer all the worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, and negativity and sin. That has to stop in our life. It has to stop. And for you and for me in your soul, I know when the day or the night of the day is necessary for you. Do you believe that? What I want is perennial peace. No more worries, no more fears, no more anxieties, no more complaints, no more negativities, no more doubts, no more sin. I mean, this is why. So that I may carry out what I, God, want. If you are not peaceful, I feel molested in my work. And with difficulty, not with ease, I go along carrying out my designs. Jesus says, you're with me or you're not. He says, if you're with me, it's going to be easy. If you're fighting me the whole way with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, it's going to happen anyways. You're dragging your cross behind you. You're not embracing it. That's our life. That's why we're alive today. Christ has planned this for us. Yes, there's a lot of negativity out there. We're not negative. We're not. That has to stop. We want to live this abundant life of Jesus and Mary that was given to Louisa. So we'll end with a blessing. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.